I think it's good enough.
But you don't, I get his point. You can't really give it up.
No, no, absolutely. You don't want to give it up, but we have given it up. So, I mean, I think that when we read this and talk about it, the fact that Metropolitan has this ability to...
Okay, I'd like to bring the April 3rd board meeting of the Eastern Municipal Water District to order. Could I have a roll call, please?
Director Crona?
Here.
Director Slauson?
Here.
Director Armstrong?
Here.
Our legal counsel is present, and just to note that Directors Record and Polly are both absent.
Okay. Jason Martin, would you like to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. It's time for public comments. This is for comments for items that are not on the agenda. We have a speaker slip for Jason Martin. Rancho, welcome.
Thank you.
I'll have to excuse my voice. I notice I haven't been here for a while. I still haven't been able to get my voice back quite. It's probably a good thing, though. Anyway, go ahead, Jason.
Well, good morning. Thank you, Chair Corona and directors. It's a pleasure to be here this morning. Wanted to provide a few public comments related to Metropolitan Water District's proposed rate increases. And I first want to acknowledge Director Armstrong for coming down to Rancho a few weeks ago and addressing our board and talking about the challenges and the strategies that's currently being faced by Metropolitan, how they fully recover their costs and their revenue. I'd also like to note that I was fortunate enough to work with both Director Armstrong and Corona in different capacities at Rancho Water. And I think that gives you both a unique perspective on what Rancho Water has done over the years to make sure that our rates are as low as possible for our customers. And as our advocates at Metropolitan and at Eastern, we appreciate and support that continued advocacy, so thank you for that. In front of you this morning is a letter from our board president, John Rossi, on behalf of our entire board. And what they're asking for today, well, first of all, they want to state that they recognize the challenges that are ahead and what Metropolitan is facing as far as financial stability. But their request this morning is that their voice is heard. And in two ways. One, they understand the need for full cost recovery, but at the same time, they want to make sure that we're looking at cost containment equally. And so with that, I'll outline a couple of items that are in that letter that was provided to the board this morning. First, we support the increase of the ad valorem rates as a means of supporting fixed cost recovery. We think that this absolutely helps address the imbalance between fixed costs and revenues. Secondly, we would ask that the water demand projections be reduced to 1.3 million acre feet. We think this more accurately reflects what we're seeing as a new reality in the demand. We do understand, however, and I'll add that that could exacerbate the fixed cost imbalance. We recognize that. We ask that a full review is done of the new staffing requests, and that only the near-term mission-critical positions related to operations are filled at this time. And then lastly, we'd ask that MET postpone any further investment in conservation at this time. I think Director Record mentioned a couple of weeks ago that as a region, our customers have decreased their overall demand by almost 50% in the last 10 to 15 years. And that's primarily due to the efforts of agencies like Eastern and Rancho and our boots on the ground. And we think that's where that should remain. So we would ask that they would postpone those conservation investments indefinitely. Just want to close in saying thank you for your advocacy, for your support, for your guidance and direction. Our board recognizes it's a challenge. That's not an easy place to be. And I thank you for allowing me to make those comments this morning.
Thank you.
Can we make a comment back?
Yes, you can. You can respond.
Yeah, just would like to say thank you for submitting this letter to us. It is actually very much appreciated and helpful for us to add to our advocacy for our region to have something like this. And I did want to just comment on a couple of your points. So one of them is related to staffing, and you know, I'm still learning a lot about Metropolitan, but one of the things I've learned in the last couple of weeks is that staffing at Metropolitan used to be somewhere near 2,200 employees. It's been cut down to 1,900 employees. So these staffing requests that are being made is really to try to replace some of those positions that have been cut. There were 128 requests made this year to bring close that 300 to 400 decrease in employees back, and that was whittled down to below 20. So there has been some scrutiny on that staffing level. I know I didn't talk about that when we were at Rancho a few weeks ago, so I wanted to mention that. But anyways, I just wanted to say thank you for the letter, and it does help us.
I appreciate that. And also note that our general manager, Rob Grantham, is at Western this morning as well, presenting the same letter to their board.
Great. Thanks.
Thank you.
Forgot to ask Amanda if we had any guests.
No other speakers.
No guests. Okay.
Would you like me to do
this? Yes, I'd like
participation.
You to virtual participation.
Sure. To avoid creating acoustic feedback, please mute all your devices during the meeting unless you are speaking. Before speaking, please unmute your device and turn down the volume of any other devices that are near you and tuned into the meeting. If you have joined by phone and would like to comment on an item, please press star 9 to let our staff know and wait to be notified. When it is your turn to speak, you will hear a notification asking you to unmute your phone by pressing star 6. If you have joined by computer, you may use the chat feature in Zoom to indicate your desire to speak. When done speaking, please mute your device again. And please participate from a quiet environment so that the board can hear you when you are done speaking.
Okay. Executive reports. Mr. Mawad.
Good morning, Vice President Corona, members of the board. My report is included in your packet. Under new and ongoing items, as you recall, the last board meeting, I shared the news with you that S&P as well as Fitch had upgraded EMWD's credit rating to AAA. Well, we have some additional good news this morning. Last week, Moody's Investor Services upgraded Eastern's credit rating from AA2 to AA1. So that is significant because that upgrade has a direct benefit to approximately $346 million that we have in outstanding bonds rated by Moody's. In their determination, Moody's cited our long history of strong financial performance, including our performance during periods of drought, as well as our diversified water portfolio and industry-leading rate structure. In aggregate, when you look at this upgrade by Moody's as well as the AAA rating by Fitch and S&P, we currently hold the highest credit ratings that this organization has seen in our recent history. So I just want to applaud our finance team, our entire team that really worked very diligently to realize these significant credit rating improvements. Next, I wanted to share with you, I'm sure you've heard in the news, the evolving water supply conditions up north. Last week, Department of Water Resources increased the state water project allocation from 15 to 30% based on conditions as of the beginning of March. So that increase does not account for the storms that we all saw occur over the months of March. We are anticipating a further increase in allocation, probably as early as this week. The Department of Water Resources indicated that currently the water content of the snowpack is above 100% at 110%. That is quite a dramatic improvement from where we were in January at 28%. So with the state water project allocation of 30%, Metropolitan has resumed delivery to Eastern of the Saboba Settlement replenishment supply. So that has resumed. The other programs, such as cyclic storage, have not resumed as of yet, and I know Rancho is part of that program as well. However, with the anticipated increase in the state water project allocation, we should see Metropolitan resume those other programs. Currently, they're focused on replenishing remaining storage capacity at DVL and other places. But it's all good news, and it seems like this year is, again, above average year in terms of snowpack and water supply. Next, I wanted to share with you an update. I know Jason mentioned the budget, and Dr. Armstrong provided some perspective. But what I will share with you, it's been a very diligent effort by Director Armstrong, as well as Jolene, myself, and many others at EMWD, engaging on the budget conversations that have been ongoing at Metropolitan. The board received an update from Metropolitan CFO Catano last time. After that presentation, there's been a number of conversations and discussions held. And I have to tell you that Director Armstrong has, in fact, led and championed the effort at Metropolitan to consider increasing the ad valorem property tax. It's hasn't been an easy task to shift the mindset, not only in our region, but frankly throughout the entire metropolitan region, throughout Southern California. I do feel that there's good progress being made, and I do feel that there's good traction being made on many of the priorities that we had put forward, including a more realistic volumetric sales projection of 1.34 million acre feet, which now all of the options that are being carried forward to the Met Board next week include that assumption. All of the options also include a reduction in O&M budget of $18 million each year for the next 2 years. Most of the options, if not all of them, I think all of them actually, include increasing the AV. They are planning on advancing three what I would call preferred options, but one of them is truly gaining a lot of consensus. And that one option that's gaining consensus includes monetizing some of the storage in Lake Mead, potentially further reducing the rate increases projected for the next 2 years. So the preferred option that's being discussed currently would have rate increases at approximately 8.5% a year for the next 2 years. I think that's quite a significant improvement from where the conversation started a couple of months ago. At 1.34 million acre feet, without any of those things that I described, without increases in AV, without the reductions in O&M budget or the monetizing of storage, over the next 2 years, Metropolitan would potentially see somewhere in the order of 30% rate increases. And today, the preferred option that's gaining a lot of support is around 17%. So huge improvement, huge benefit to our ratepayers and to all of Southern California. So we'll see where that conversation goes. It is anticipated that next week the board of directors at Metropolitan will be asked to weigh in on the budget and the rates being put forward. Next, also on the Metropolitan front, we had a meeting last week. Both Director Armstrong and I attended the Climate Adaptation for Water Task Force meeting. And during that meeting, they did share with us the year one report. I will share that the year one report incorporated many of the coalition letters that we were signatory to, where we highlighted, again, our priorities and our perspective on many of the issues, whether it's the evaluation criteria or the time bond targets being contemplated at Met. So we're very pleased that the year one draft report did incorporate many of our priorities. We will be submitting yet another letter to Metropolitan, continuing to elevate the conversation, specifically on the GPCD, or gallons per day per capita, a conversation where we feel that having a regional target is not necessarily the best metric or the best tool, given that the state already has mandates and that we're all complying with. But we're also going to be promoting, again, Met's use of the least expensive supplies to the region, including the Colorado River and the State Water Project, and, again, encourage creative partnerships to shield the ratepayers from costly projects such as a Pure Water Program. So more to come, but overall, the draft year one report was consistent with our expectation. I will also share with you that Metropolitan's executive manager, who's leading this effort, Liz Crossan, will be presenting to this board a comprehensive update on the Climate Adaptation Master Plan on May 1st. So looking forward to that presentation from Liz. Under items of interest of the board, last week, staff and I met with Senator Butler's team to discuss our FY25 earmark request. It was an opportunity to brief them on everything EMWD, as well as specifically the desalination program that we've been partnering with the Army Corps on for many years, last couple of decades, in fact. It was a really productive conversation. We outlined the request for $6 million that we are seeking from the Energy and Water Development Act. And of that $6 million, $5 million would be to help us construct the Valley Boulevard transmission pipeline to convey more brackish water to our treatment facilities, and an additional $1 million to help us continue on the work with the Army Corps on the well siting study. We will be meeting with Senator Padilla's staff tomorrow, making a very similar request to help us with the earmark for the South Paris desalination program. So more to come on that. Finally, I wanted to share with you that Eastern was selected as a finalist for Aqua's Clear Hill Agency Award. Quite the honor to be selected as a finalist. The award recognizes exemplary programs by Aqua's member agencies, including those that address water industry issues, water use efficiency programs, leadership, and excellence in agency management. Specifically, our application for the award and our selection was based on our industry-leading grants and loans program and our long-standing success in securing those funding partnerships that we have to shield our ratepayers from the cost of infrastructure projects. So the winner of the award will be announced at the upcoming Aqua Spring Conference that will be held between May 7th and 9th in Sacramento. I will be attending that conference, and we're going to keep our fingers crossed. With that, be happy to answer any questions the board may have.
Yeah. Just wanted to say congratulations on the upgrade from Moody's. That's not a small feat. That is a big accomplishment, and it's probably as high as you can get from Moody's, in my opinion. But congratulations, is well deserved.
Thanks. Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Okay. Nick, you're up next.
Thank you. I do have two items. The first, Director Corona, is not going to be news to you, but for the benefit of Director Armstrong, Director Slauson, I just want to provide a quick update on the Riverside LAFCO annexation process for the Los Alamos Hills. As you all will recall, it was late January that LAFCO did approve the annexation of 36 properties within that community. Despite many objections from one individual that is not being annexed, expressing concerns with regards to the fact that the city wasn't kicking enough funds to pay for connection fees, CEQA, the fact that we're installing fire hydrants as a part of the municipal water system that's being installed. So it was approved, but following LAFCO's approval, he did file a protest and a request for reconsideration. So last Thursday, LAFCO held a hearing for reconsideration. Again, this individual attendant made comments with regards to his concerns. Many other property owners were there to express support and appreciation for the water system that we're trying to install for that community. Ultimately, Director Corona, Commissioner Corona on the LAFCO Commission made a motion not to reconsider that was seconded and unanimously approved by the commission. So with that, we anticipate the LAFCO will conclude their process early, mid-May, and anticipate bringing an item to the board for us to conclude the process, approve the final annexation, probably the second meeting in May. So been a kind of tough process. President Pauly had expressed concern how typically long the LAFCO process takes. You know, our rule of thumb estimate based on past processes is about 14 to 18 months. This will have concluded, if we bring this to the board, late May, in about 14 months, despite about another 3 months that was added due to the protest and the hearings for reconsideration. So I want to provide that update. Unfortunately, you know, we're moving forward with the project. Pipe is going in the ground now. We have, you know, a lot more work to do out there. We're off to a good start, but I anticipate the resident that has concerns with this project will continue to express those concerns as we move forward with the project. So just wanted to make sure everybody was up to speed on that. And then the other item in Matt Melendrez's absence, I just wanted to mention where we are with regards to our recycled water discharge. Given, you know, the storms that keep rolling in, the weather conditions, their demands are still, at this point, you know, near zero. So we continue to discharge about 40 million gallons a day. It's being managed well. We anticipate, I think there's a little more rain forecast, but if the weather continues as we can see it is outside today, you know, we're going to start weaning ourselves off that discharge over this current month of April, and hope to terminate that by the end of this month. I just want to let you know that Jason Uli, general manager for Riverside County Flood Control, did reach out to us. A number of weeks back, he and I have been communicating. They were seeing a while ago during the peak of some of the storms, some heavy flooding that was occurring on Hostella Road, you know, downstream to Mescal Creek. We tried to back off on discharge as best we can, but at the same time, flood control got out there and did some maintenance work on the creek, and I think, you know, with us backing off a little bit, their maintenance work, there's still water down there, but it's not the flooding conditions that they were seeing, and the feedback that we're getting from flood control, as also we're going out there daily to keep our eye on it. It looks like it's under control and in good condition at this point. Those are my updates.
Okay, great. Dan?
Nothing this morning.
April?
Good morning. Just a couple updates. We do have a few new videos that we'll be posting to social media this week, and this is regarding the City of Paris consolidation. They were done in partnership with the City of Paris and EMWD. And then, as you know, we submitted comments on the latest draft of the water use efficiency regulations. The next draft of those are expected in May, so we'll follow up then.
Okay. John, do you have anything?
No updates this morning.
Good morning, Vice President Corona and members of the board.
Give me a chance.
Last week, staff, along with staff from the City of Murrieta, participated in a community meeting with property owners as well as other interested parties in the Murrieta Northern Key or Keyhole area. A few years ago, the city adopted land use changes that really increased the interest in this area. However, this area is rural in nature currently, mainly rural or dirt roads, and there's no water infrastructure currently in this area. In addition, this area is not currently in EMWD or Metropolitan's service area. The city's also not programmed in the city's capital program as well. As EMWD had received inquiries in this area, we did advance a conceptual level study to identify the necessary road network as well as water and sewer backbone that would be required to serve this area. The results of this conceptual level plan, as well as preliminary costs and annexation requirements, were presented during the community meeting last week. Although developer interest in this area has subsided somewhat since the original inquiries were received about 18 months ago, EMWD staff has continued to work with developers that are advancing their projects, working with them to accommodate annexation requests as well as coordinate infrastructure requirements. We'll continue to work with the city and provide updates as interest reestablishes in this area.
Okay. Okay, let's move on to item number 3, consent calendar. Are there any items that anybody wants to pull off the consent calendar? Could I get a motion to approve?
I move approval.
Second.
Moved by Director Slauson and seconded by Director Armstrong. Can I have a roll call vote, please?
Director Corona?
Aye.
Director Slauson?
Aye.
Director Armstrong?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously with Director Pauly and Director
Record
absent. Okay. Action calendar number 4. A, approve and authorize agreements for the San Jacinto Valley Groundwater Treatment Facility Project. Adopt proposed addendum 2 to the program environmental impact report and additional appropriation of $31,493,050. Sean Stone.
Good morning, directors. Thank you for the introduction, Director Corona. As said, this is a construction award for the San Jacinto Groundwater Treatment Plant. This one's been a long time coming. We unfortunately, due to bids coming in approximately a year ago, had to pass the project, and this is the rebid results. I'd like to introduce some of the partners today. We have PAC Hydro in the audience, as well as Tetra Tech, Boutier, and MTGL, who will be supporting the project through the recommendations that are forthcoming. We're going to get through a little background of the project. We'll talk about the summary of bids, the services during construction, the schedule, and finally, staff's recommendation today. So a little bit of background. The project is located at the intersection of Hewitt and Evans Street in the city of San Jacinto. You have a rendering there of the facility that is currently proposed. The project is situated within a residential neighborhood. An overview of the entire program. This is part of our Groundwater Reliability Plus project. The four wells that you see, wells 201 through 205, all consolidate and feed to this groundwater treatment plant. The primary treatment process will be for iron and manganese. So we're ultimately looking to treat the groundwater to potable standards. As indicated, this is part of the San Jacinto Valley water banking, as well as creates a stable water supply in the East Valley. Phase one of the project will be for 10.2 MGD. Again, as I noted, primary constituents are iron and manganese, and we will have an on-site disinfection system using sodium hypochlorite. This project was also successful in partnering with the county to receive a portion of the ARPA funding that was allocated to the county. And so we are moving forward to keep this project on the schedule for ARPA spending. So the treatment site layout is shown here. We have a blow-off pond for the wells to blow off to when we have to rehab them. We have the process building itself, backwash tanks, and other filter facilities. The next layout, this is the ultimate size that will allow us to, as we build future wells, if they require treatment, we will be able to expand this treatment facility and bring those wells to this location for distribution. So summary of bids. We advertised the bids in January of this year. We received three. Pacific Hydrotech of Paris was the lowest responsible bidder with a bid of amount of just under $25 million. The engineer's estimate was $29.3 million, so this was approximately 15% below the engineer's estimate, so an excellent set of bids for us. Support services during construction. Tetra Tech was our engineer of record, and we would like to continue having them provide services through the construction phase and reviewing RFIs, helping with field engineering, as well as reviewing submittals. Environmental Services Associates, ESA, prepared the programmatic EIR for the San Jacinto Groundwater Banking Program. As such, we'd like to have services for them to help with the mitigating and monitoring program through construction, including burrowing owl surveys and cultural and paleontological. This site also notes archaeological investigations. There was a historic hospital on the site that was identified, and we have worked with the resource agencies. The site will actually have a monument on it to that facility, but the archaeological review will be during excavation in case we happen to come across items of interest. For geotechnical services, we have MTGL. They will be providing geotechnical observation and testing as well as other material testing, including concrete and soils. And finally, Boutier Engineering Incorporated for construction management. They will be providing resident engineering services, project status reporting, scheduling, monitoring, as well as claim assistance and claims mitigation. One of the final actions that was noted there was an adoption and of an addendum to the programmatic EIR from June of 2018. The modification to the EIR is an increase in the height of the communications tower. Based on radio path surveys, the original 40-foot tower was deemed to not quite get us what we need to meet with our new microwave backbone that we are deploying. The program itself does not change the impact conclusions of the EIR, and it does not indicate any new mitigation or monitoring analysis. The schedule, should the board choose to award the project today, we will issue a notice to proceed immediately with the construction contract getting ready to go. We do have a milestone one because of the residential neighborhood. We would like the full block wall built around the facility within 6 months of the notice to proceed to screen our construction activities from our neighbors. And substantial completion would be in April of 2026, several months before the December 2026 deadline for ARPA funding. So our recommendations today are an award of a construction contract to Pacific Hydrotech in the amount of approximately $25 million, an award of a contract to Tetra Tech in the amount of approximately $550,000, an award to ESA for environmental services in the amount of approximately $113,000, award of contract with MTGL in the amount of approximately $165,000, an award to Boutier Engineering in the amount of approximately $1 million, adoption of Addendum 2 of the San Jacinto Valley Water Banking Enhanced Recharge and Recovery Program Environmental Impact Report for the revised communication tower, administrative award of other necessary contracts to complete the project, and finally, an appropriation of approximately $31.5 million, bringing the total estimated project cost to approximately $32.3 million. And that concludes my presentation, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Do we have any representatives of the vendors here today?
Yes. PAC Hydro is our contractor. We have Tetra Tech as our consulting engineer.
Okay.
Here, second row. We have Boutier over on the side and a representative from MTGL.
Great. Well, thank you all for coming. Okay. Any discussion?
No, I have no questions. We heard this in committee. I'll move approval.
Okay.
Chair, I just wanted to mention, should the board approve this item, we've been working with Public Government Affairs. We have scheduled tentatively a ribbon-cutting ceremony in June. Supervisor Gutierrez, who's providing the ARPA funding, has confirmed attendance, as well as Congressman Ruiz has confirmed attendance for the June ribbon-cutting event. So just want you to be aware that we're hoping the board will approve this so we can move forward with those plans accordingly.
Okay. Motion by Director Slauson, second by Director Armstrong. Could I have a roll call, please?
Director Cronin?
Aye.
Director Slauson?
Aye.
Director Armstrong?
Aye.
Okay. Votes unanimous with Director Record and Director Pauly absent. Okay. Item B, approve an authorized contract amendment with Albert A. Webb and Associates, $116,827 for the City of Paris Infrastructure Upgrade Project, an additional appropriation in the amount of $252,000. Scott Tolan.
Good morning, Vice President Corona and board members. Yes, it's my pleasure to present our request to approve engineering services for the City of Paris Infrastructure Upgrade Project. Before I begin, I want to introduce Jeff Hart with Albert A. Webb and Associates.
Thank you for coming.
Consultant. All righty. All right, this project is associated with the City of Paris Water and Sewer Consolidation and Transfer to EMWD. As a way of background, EMWD and the city initiated studies back in 2020 to evaluate the city's utility systems, identify needed repairs, and also evaluate future growth. As a result of those studies, staff identified the 4th Street lift station as a specific facility that required advanced planning and potential modifications. In February, EMWD Board of Directors, as well as City of Paris Council, approved a memorandum of understanding for the consolidation and transfer of the city's water and sewer systems. This executed MOU, in part, provides for advanced access and improvement to these facilities to address operational and safety concerns prior to the transfer to EMWD. In October 2023, staff administratively approved funding in the amount of $54,000 to Webb & Associates to evaluate alternatives for addressing the safety and access concerns. During those efforts, it was confirmed that a gravity sewer solution was feasible to bypass and ultimately decommission the 4th Street lift station. This graphic gives you a good feel for where that's located in one of the westbound drive lanes. The next steps are to expedite the field work, utility location, and design of the 8-inch gravity sewer that's proposed, and subsequently abandon the 4th Street lift station. Webb and Associates have committed to expediting the survey and design efforts. As we progress the design, we will also be working closely with the city and Caltrans for expedited encroachment permits, along with the proposed sewer alignment. In order to meet the tight schedule, we also plan on pre-purchasing the sewer pipe and manholes as owner-furnished materials to help streamline the construction. Webb & Associates was uniquely qualified to take the lead on these efforts. They previously completed several City of Paris assessments and have a detailed understanding of the existing city sewer system. They also confirmed that they have the resources to move the design in an expedited fashion in order to meet our tight timeline. As such, their scope and negotiation fee is in the amount of approximately $117,000, as indicated here in the summary slide. If approved by the board, we will commence immediately with final design completed in May. At that point, we will solicit a short bid period of our on-call contractors and return to the board for approval of the construction phase in an effort to complete construction by the end of October. With that, staff's recommendations today is to execute for approval to execute an agreement with Albert Webb and Associates in the amount of just shy of $117,000, approve administrative award of the ancillary contracts to complete the work, and additional appropriation of $252,000 to fund the project through completion of the bid phase. That amount also includes the estimates for the pre-purchase materials. With that, I'll open it to questions.
Any questions?
No questions.
Well, Chair Corona, I just wanted to recognize staff for identifying these types of optimization opportunities. Once we started looking at how we can best integrate the City of Paris system into Eastern, we found these types of opportunities where we would avoid investment in upgrading their lift station to meet our safety requirements and be able to consolidate. And that not only helps us in avoiding capital investment, but also long-term in terms of O&M cost, it helps everyone, including the community. So I just want to recognize staff for looking at these creative solutions and really looking after the ratepayers' best interest in moving forward with the consolidation.
Thank you.
Could I get a motion to approve item B?
I'd make that motion.
Second.
Okay, motion by Director Armstrong, second by Director Slauson. Could I have a roll call, please?
Director Corona?
Aye.
Director Slauson?
Aye.
Director Armstrong?
Aye.
Okay, motion passes unanimously with Director Record and Director Pauly absent.
Item C.
Approve and authorize the addition of funds in the amount of $550,000 with USP Technologies under agreement number 118564. And a one-year agreement and up to 4 one-year renewals with Penco, Inc. for odor and corrosion control services in the full term not to exceed total of $7,200,000. Jeff Wasserman.
Good morning, members of the board. Before I begin, I'd like to introduce Mark Border with Penco. He's joining us today.
Thank you for coming.
So by way of background, the district has utilized a third party to manage its odor and corrosion control services for the past 11 years. The main goal of this service is to reduce the growth of bacteria in the sewer system, which creates hydrogen sulfide gases. These gases cause strong odor and speed up the corrosion of metal and concrete surfaces, which can lead to public complaints about odor and require costly repairs to infrastructure and equipment. So in May of 2019, the board approved and authorized a one-year agreement with up to one-year renewals for odor and corrosion control services with USP Technologies for approximately $4.7 million. This agreement will expire on June 30th of this year. Last July, an additional 10% was administratively awarded, bringing the total contract amount to just over $5.2 million. The current contract includes managing odor and corrosion control service for 17 lift stations. This involves maintaining equipment and monitoring odor control chemicals, as well as supplying the chemicals themselves. The services also include analytical assessments, technical advice, sampling and testing, and optimizing equipment to adjust chemical dosing as needed for different conditions. Over the past few years, contract pricing has increased due to raw material price increases, higher fuel and transportation costs, and rising inflation rates. Under the existing agreement, EMWD has spent approximately $5.2 million through February of this year. So at this time, staff recommends adding $550,000 to the current contract with USP Technologies to complete the existing term, which expires on June 30th of this year. In preparation for contract expiration, staff created a new solicitation for odor and corrosion control program services, and in February received three responses, with Pinco Incorporated of Sealy, Texas, providing the lowest cost and highest scoring proposal. The valuation of proposals submitted in response to the RFP included staff from the Safety, Risk, and Emergency Management, Mechanical Services, and Purchasing Departments. Criteria included price and payment terms, company and personnel qualifications and experience, full service methodology, past performance, contractual exceptions, time frame to complete work, insurance and safety records, and the chemicals proposed. PINCO specializes in manufacturing various water and wastewater chemicals, and they provide odor and corrosion control services for several public agencies, and staff received positive feedback from their performance from the Los Angeles County Sanitation District, Santa Margarita Water District, and North Texas Municipal Water District. In addition, PINCO's service includes the usage of telemetry equipment and odor loggers. These tools enable continuous monitoring of hydrogen sulfide gases, measurement of chemical storage tank levels, and provide EMWD staff with access to real-time data. These extra program offerings will help EMWD improve its odor and corrosion control management while also optimizing costs. Staff anticipates saving approximately $360,000 in the first year due to decreased chemical pricing. For comparison purposes, purchasing staff researched current prices with other local agencies, including Elsinore Valley Municipal Water District, Rancho California Water District, and San Alijo Joint Powers Authority, and found EMWD's newly proposed prices were favorable. As far as the contract, pricing will be fixed for the first year of the recommended term, with future adjustments limited in changes to the Consumer Price Index and capped at 3% per year. With that, our recommendation is for the board to approve and authorize the addition of funds in the amount of $550,000 with USP Technologies under the existing agreement, and a one-year agreement and up to 4 one-year optional renewals with PINCO Incorporated for odor and corrosion control services in the full term total of $7.2 million. With that, I'd be happy to try and answer any questions.
Any questions?
No.
Questions?
Any other motion?
I'll second it.
Okay. Motion by Director Armstrong, second by Director Slauson. Can I have a roll call, please?
Director Cronin?
Aye.
Director Slauson?
Aye.
Director Armstrong?
Aye.
Mass passes unanimously with Director Record and Director Pauly absent. Okay, Jeff, you're going to get the next one again here. Yes. Approve and authorize a one-year extension in addition to funds in the amount of $2,850,000 for as-needed inspection services in the combined not-to-exceed total of $8,415,500.
So in June of 2022, the board approved and authorized two-year agreements for as-needed inspection services and an optional one-year extensions to the most qualified firms within each discipline of work. The disciplines include capital improvement projects and developer inspection services, on-site manufacturing specialty inspection services, and recycled water system inspection services. The authorized total of all agreements approved by the board was approximately $4.4 million. In December of 2023, the board approved an additional $1 million to the capital improvement projects and developer-related inspection services discipline. And earlier this year, the recycled water system inspection services discipline was administratively increased, bringing authorized two-year contract total to $5,565,500. Staff suggests extending the agreements by 1 year under the three inspection service disciplines due to the quality of consultant services received so far. This extra year will ensure the services continue beyond the current term, which ends on June 30th of this year. So the first discipline is the capital improvement projects and developer inspection discipline. It includes inspection and evaluation of structural concrete pipelines and equipment related to water facilities. Under the existing two-year term of agreements in this discipline, EMWD has utilized approximately $2.5 million through February of this year. A continued increase in developer and pipeline replacement projects and reassignment of EMWD staff resources is expected through the completion of the optional year. Staff project an additional $2.2 million is required to support ongoing projects through the end of the optional term, which is June 30th of 2025. The next discipline is the on-site manufacturing specialty inspection services discipline, which includes inspection of materials and equipment manufactured outside EMWD's service area. Under the existing two-year term of these agreements in this discipline, EMWD has utilized approximately $532,000 through February. Staff project an additional $100,000 is required to support ongoing projects through the end of the optional term in June 30th of 2025. The last discipline is the Recycled Water System Inspection Services and includes the inspection of recycled water projects, cross-connection and backflow testing, and work tied to the Accelerated Recycled Water Retrofit Program. EMWD has spent approximately $838,000 through February. Staff project an additional $550,000 is required to support ongoing projects through the end of the contract term, June 30th of 2025. This time, staff recommend the board approve and authorize a one-year extension and the addition of funds in the amount of $2,850,000 for as-needed inspection services for a not-to-exceed total of $8,415,500. With that, are there any questions I can try and answer at this time?
Any questions?
No, we have a lot more detail in committee, and I'm happy with this.
Okay.
I'll make that a motion.
Okay. I'll second.
Okay. Motion by Director Slauson, a second by Director Armstrong. Could I get a roll call, please?
Director Perlman?
Aye.
Director Slauson?
Aye.
Director Armstrong?
Aye.
Was unanimous with Director Record and Director Polly absent. Okay. That moves us on to, we have no informational items. Item six, receive and file. I will go ahead and make a motion to receive and file.
Second.
Okay. Motion by Director Corona and second by Director Record. Could I get a roll call vote, please?
Director Cronin?
Aye.
Director Slauson?
Aye.
Director Armstrong?
Aye.
Passes unanimously with Director Recker and Director Pauly absent. Okay, we're on to calendar review. Sonia.
Good morning, Vice President Corona and members of the board. This morning I have four events for your consideration. The first one is Tuesday, June 18th, is the San Jacinto Treatment Facility groundbreaking ceremony. On Thursday, June 20th, is the Western Riverside Council of Governments General Assembly and Leadership Address. Also on Thursday, June 20th, is the Temecula Valley Chamber of Commerce 2024 Southwest Regional Economic Forecast. And lastly, Thursday, June 27th, is the Murrieta Wildomar Chamber of Commerce Mega Mixer. More details regarding these events can be found in the attached flyers within your packets. Turning to page 2, you will find the current listing of the board members' master calendar for the next 2 weeks. If you would please review the information and let me know if there are any changes or updates. Page 3 is the list of upcoming events. On Thursday, April 11th, is the Pure Water Southern California Tour. Friday, April 19th, is the Southern California Water Coalition quarterly luncheon meeting. Friday, April 26th through Saturday, April 27th, is the Colorado River Aqueduct Tour. Tuesday, May 7th through Thursday, May 9th, is the Aqua Spring Conference. Thursday, May 9th, is the Murrieta State of the City. Thursday, May 23rd, is Paris State of the City. And a Thursday, May 30th, is the Temecula State of the City. Continuing on page 3 is the board meeting schedule, and these are all on schedule. Page 4 is the committee and interagency meetings. For the out-of-office schedule, we have one board member that will be out of the area from May 17th through June 3rd. For the district office holiday schedule, EMWD offices will be closed on Monday, May 27th, in observance of Memorial Day. And this concludes the calendar review. Are there any questions or comments?
Any questions?
No.
Thank you.
Okay. Director attendance reports. Director Armstrong.
Okay. Metropolitan meetings, I guess just kind of follow up with what our general manager already covered a little bit, but Camp for Water, Climate Adaptation Master Planning for Water effort, the one-year report that we saw a draft of really kind of reflects the effort for the first year. Nothing has actually been approved yet. All of this is going to move to the board at a future date for approval, but I thought the report was a good summary of what has been reflected in our continued involvement and continued communication. I think will help refine that as well, too. So I think that was good. The next step on the Camp for Water is, which begins here in April, is going to be working on the new business model, which will really take a look at the future of how I think it will dovetail into how rates are set and calculated and determined and what will be the components of rates, et cetera, going forward. So that will be an important part of it as well. The budget, again, our general manager talked a lot about that, but I really think that one of the things that we've tried to emphasize with our efforts, in particular with the AVs, is really to try to find a a structural fix to the rate structure at Metropolitan, where so many fixed costs are there, but they're all recovered in the variable component. And when we have demands that decline like they are right now, all of those fixed costs still have to be recovered, which increases the pressure on increasing the commodity rates. And I think it's a bad message. I think it contributes to the bad message about conservation, and we're saving water, and every time we save water, you raise your rates on us. And I actually think that a big part of that problem is really from the rate structure at Metropolitan, because that then, you know, falls down on all of us to have to deal with. So I think our effort on the AV really is a small effort to begin trying to fix that structural problem with the rate structure at Metropolitan. And I think it will hopefully dovetail into this new business model effort. The other update would be that we did get another update on the Pure Water SoCal program, and they just presented an alternative of phasing it over, 10 or 20 years, I think it was 20 years maybe. And they tried to show what the projected cost would be with a phasing approach, which would increase the cost of Pure Water, but it would stretch it out over 20 years longer. So I think with the Pure Water, I think it's important for all of us to get a good understanding of what it is and what the costs are and what it really is about. And happy we have that tour in another week or two, and there'll be some participation in that from some of our regional partners here. So, and then, good Metropolitan budget strategy discussions that our general manager and Jolene and I are able to have, just keep us all on the same page and compare notes. It's really helpful and beneficial, and as is the monthly update with the general manager, is very helpful. Thank you.
Jeff, I got a question for you. So on the talking about the AV and stuff like that, when, I don't know if you know the answer to this, when is the State Water Project bond do? When is that done? You don't know?
I don't know.
Anybody know? 10 years from now or something like that?
You know, my understanding, Chair Corona, is that the authority provided to Met to recover the State Water Project cost are not only based on the bond but actually ongoing operation and maintenance cost and refurbishment cost. So there is going to be ongoing expenditures on the State Water Project. As far as the authority on the ad valorem, when that may expire, I would have to check into that. I don't have the exact date. I don't know, John, if you're familiar with it.
I don't think it expires, and you're correct. It is based on the State Water Project costs. Met has some GO bonds that will come due, and it's a very small portion of the AV, but most of it is based on the State Water Project costs ongoing.
Okay.
But we'll verify.
We'll confirm that, and just to add a little bit more to the conversation, currently Metropolitan collects 0.0035 in terms of property taxes. That's the revenue. Mm-hmm. Region-wide, that brings in under $200 million of revenue. Their authority, however, could be increased. Or I shouldn't say, the authority is there to increase the actual rate, I believe, up to 0.018 max. So there's a significant headroom for Metropolitan to address what Dr. Armstrong has mentioned is this inequity in terms of the rate structure. And there's a number of really issues that we have been vocalizing at MET, because frankly the benefit, the value that all of us derive from MET is much greater than how much volumetric sales occur per agency. Agencies can peak off of MET, can lean on MET depending upon the hydrology of their own water resources. So there's an inherent value that each agency receives from MET, whether they're actually buying the water or not. And I think that goes to this inequity in the rate structure that we've been clear about. So we are hopeful that this, hopefully next week, this step in the direction of increasing the ad valorem will also carry on to the business model conversation, which we believe is going to be very impactful to all of us here.
Great. Okay. I'm next. Okay, the Riverside LAFCO meeting of February 22nd. High point in that meeting was the discussion of a City of Coachella sphere of influence change that was actually being, you got Coachella and Indio both fighting over the same sphere, except that Coachella's ready now. It has been ready since September. Indio jumped in at the last minute and wanted to stop it. We ended up voting to allow the sphere change to Coachella, and Indio will also be coming in at a later date to try to get it back. Now, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. Monthly update with the general manager back in February. Obviously, it was great. Myriad Temecula Group meeting March 1st. That was keynote speaker there was Sheriff Chad Bianco. That was a very, very informative meeting. Rancho California Water District meeting on March 4th, 14th. The keynote speaker there was Jeff Armstrong, who did a fabulous job of explaining what was going on at MET. Ran into a few maybe unhappy questions, I guess, but Jeff handled it great. The March Air Reverse Air Base Assumption Command event was a very good event. Had a little get-together afterwards at the Hap Arnold House. Another meeting with the general manager. Obviously, I haven't been here for a while, so I got to go a lot of these to go through. It was good. And then another LAFCO meeting. Nick covered that. Interestingly, the person that opposed the annexation was fixated on fire hydrants this time. Didn't want any fire hydrants. Wanted a water system was okay, but fire hydrants, that's not okay. Let's see. Oh, that was the review. I had the review beforehand with Nick and Pakal, and that was well. And then I was unable to attend the Myriad City Council recognition event. Okay. And on to Director Slauson.
Okay, first, before I say anything, I'll say there's a blow-off in front of my house, and I'm happy it's there. It's not a hydrant, but I'm still happy it's there. I'd rather be there than not. For the record, I attended our joint meeting with Western. We discussed, there was one member of the public who questioned the cloud seeding and silver iodide, and I guess we're working with her. Primarily, we discussed MET and some of the budget issues, because that's really something obviously significant right now. Attended the chamber breakfast. The deputies were recognized who had saved these three too brave of kids that jumped into the canal and were flailing around, and they had a little video recognizing these three deputies that saved them, because teenage boys are not smart. And updates from the city and the school. We had our meeting with April, the anniversary, 75th year anniversary ad hoc committee. Discussed sort of generally what the plan is and talked about branding and such. And attended the Water Task Force. Nancy Vogel from DWR and then Jerry Brown from Sites Reservoir spoke, among there was somebody else too, but it was interesting presentation. And that's it.
Okay, great. Okay, item 8, director's comments and future agenda items. Do we have anything? Anybody want to add anything? Okay, closed session. Do we have any reason for closed session today?
No, Mr. Chair.
Well, with that, we will adjourn to the meeting to the regular meeting of Wednesday, April 17th, 2024 at 9 a.m. Thank you.